Good morning, church. Good morning, everybody. Good to see all your beautiful faces here today. And those of you guys online, I can't see you, but I know you're there as well. So just a good morning. I'm Chris. I'm the pastor here at Table Life Church. I get the honor and the privilege of shepherding this awesome congregation here at Table Life. So if it is your first time in a long time, somewhere in between, whatever that is, grateful to be with you, and we're sensing a little bit of spring, I think. There's snow that's melting, so that's a good sign out there, so makes me happy of that like on the way. So today we are in the final and fourth week of our series that we've been reading through the first part of the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament scriptures, and the series has been called Calling, about God's calling. God's call on our lives that I think is one of the most overlooked parts of the Christian faith, that a lot of times we talk about, salvation, which is a super important part of coming to faith in Jesus, of trusting Jesus, of turning away from your sin, this idea of repentance, and turning to God and turning to him and asking him to lead and guide your life. And that's an important critical part, but that's not the end, friends. That's not the end, for we have a call that's placed on our lives. God calls us to live a certain way, to show his grace, to show part of his kingdom here and now. And so we've been kind of focusing on this scripture from the book of Ephesians, which is written by the Apostle Paul as he was in prison. We're going to put that up on the screen one last time here. I want to encourage you to read this along with me for our kind of focus scripture. So ready? As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Of the calling you have received, meaning that you have a call from God. You have a call that's placed on your life, that you are created on purpose and for a purpose, that you are not a mistake, and that you are called to do something with this life you've been given. And so in this series, we've been focusing each week on these kind of four important aspects of God's call. The first is that all believers, all followers of Christ, have what's called a general call placed in their lives. A general call. Meaning that we are called to follow Jesus, to show Jesus to the world, to be conduits of God's love and grace to people around us. We're called to love our neighbor, believe it or not, right? We're called to follow him, and that goes for every single believer, that we are a priesthood of all believers, as Paul says. That we are the kind of go-between between a broken world and a holy God, and that we are showing evidence of God's existence, his love, his grace, and his power and authority. And that's a general call that's placed on every single one of us. But then we talked about the second idea of that there is a specific call on your life, that God's general call is embodied in a specific way in your life, and that depends on you. That depends on your background, your life season and circumstance right now, right? We have some kiddos that are in school. We have people that are in the workplace. We have people who are retired. We have people of all ages and places and where you find yourself. A specific call is what is God calling you specifically to do here and now? Taking that general call and applying it to you. And sometimes God's specific call, sometimes it comes through in a very divine way, a revelation, kind of like a burning bush. Or maybe it's in a prayer time that something that you read or you're praying to God and God almost speaks to you in a certain way. It might be circumstances that come up that point you in a certain direction. It might be a challenge right in front of you, a hard thing that you are called to face. That specific call comes to each of us, and each of us have a specific call. But when we follow God's call, we have to recognize that our life takes on an eternal divine purpose. And that's kind of the third aspect, is that when you begin to follow God's call, when you step into God's call and what he's calling you to do, your life gets bigger than you. It gets bigger than just taking care of your family and waking up each day and going to work or doing the things that are valuable to you or things that you enjoy or pleasurable. That your life takes on a bigger purpose, an eternal divine purpose, much bigger than you. And that leads us to the kind of fourth aspect, is that means that we will always feel incomplete until we surrender to God's call. You always have this kind of emptiness inside. And you know this, if that's been a part of your story. Maybe you chased the party scene for a while, or experimented drugs and alcohol and other addictive behaviors, Or maybe you like played around for a while, or maybe you just tried to work yourself to death and you tried to earn and earn money so that way you could go on big vacations and get the big house. And then eventually at the end of all those things, you kind of had this empty feeling still that even though you had everything maybe you wanted or maybe things that you didn't want, there was still an emptiness. And that's because you'll feel incomplete until you surrender to God's call. But that means that another thing is that part of our lives is more than accepting Jesus into our heart, that we need to surrender to God's plan and not just his salvation. And that means that the sweetest spot you can be in is to be following God's call. See, accepting God's call should feel like putting on a new pair of shoes almost. That it's designed for you. It's your sweet spot. It's a sweet spot in your life, and that you almost feel like, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This might be really, really hard, but I'm stepping and following in God's direction. So today, as we kind of wrap up our series, we're going to be asking the question, big question, how do we hear God's call? How do we hear God's call? So recently, I need to grab my phone for a second. Recently, somebody texted me, and I don't know if you're iPhone, Android people, right? I'm not going to ask you to confess that. But anyway, recently somebody like texted me, and I didn't have their number in my contacts. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, if you have a smartphone. But apparently, they'd either texted me before, or there'd been some kind of like indication of who it was. And their name was probably at some point partially in the text. Well, I have to say this. Steve Jobs is so smart that even from beyond the grave, he made a suggestion on my iPhone and said, maybe it's this person. You ever have that happen? Maybe, like the number comes up, like amazing, right? Ever happened to you? You know, it's amazing. Like, you know, so today, I kind of in that relationship, I want to talk about the times when the maybe says God, and I'm not saying necessarily on your phone here, but the maybe is God calling me, right? The maybe comes up, do I know this number? Is that him? Is that me? Is that the burrito I ate from Nito the night before? I don't know, right? We have those questions. How do we hear God's call? So we're going to talk about those times. How do we know whether it's God's call or not? And so today we're going to turn in the scripture to 1 Samuel chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, want to follow along, I'm also going to put it up on the screen, the NIV translation, New International Version. And this story takes place in 1060 BC. So this is about 1,000 years before Jesus. So 3,000 years ago from now. And Samuel, we've been telling the bit of his story. Samuel was just a kid. So the story goes, and I'm going to just kind of refresh it real quick, is that Hannah, Samuel's mother, she was unable to have children. She went through a season of prayer and fasting, and she went to the temple to pray and was almost kicked out of the temple because they thought she was drunk. She wasn't drunk, though. And so she was praying, and she was praying, and she was praying, and then the priest at the temple named Eli, remember that name Eli, he basically tells her, he says, well, whatever it is that you've been praying for, the Lord is going to grant it. So she goes on. She gets pregnant and has this child. And because she had been praying at the temple, she made this promise to God that she was going to dedicate this child to worship God. And so finally, when he was of age, she brought him to the temple, doing the very, very hard thing. We talked about that, how following God's call is often doing the very hard things. And so she had to leave him at the temple in order for him to learn, to grow into this holy priesthood. And she even made him little smocks, right? And she brought them every single time that she came to visit him. Well, over time goes by. And we're told last week about Eli's sons, how they were like the legitimate priests and they just totally messed things up and were very, very sinful. And yet God was continuing to grow up this little boy, Samuel. So at this time in the story, Samuel's just a kid. He's about maybe 12 years old at this point. This is a little leapfrog forward from last week where he was maybe about 4 or so. And so he had been dedicated to the temple. He'd been working under the priest Eli, given all kinds of tasks and things to do. He's kind of a junior priest, if you will, a junior pastor. So he's about 12. It's 1060 BC. And the scripture says this: the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So learning to hear God's call, the first thing we have to realize is the rarity of hearing God's call. The rarity. The word of the Lord was rare, the scripture says. You know, when I read that, I thought of, how isn't it today that it seems like the word of the Lord is rare? Like, is God really speaking? You know, why is that? Why don't we hear the voice of the Lord? Did God, like, was he like in a, like giving us the silent treatment? Or like, what is that? Why did God stop speaking? And why does it feel like he's stopping speaking now? Well, I think a large part of it is because we stop listening. We stop listening. We stop listening to God's word, to scripture. We stop looking for visions. We live in a noisy age. There's like so many voices, right? I mean, you just spend like 2.5 seconds on this. You can hear from a million different voices. And there's also the added uncertainty. What is real or not? I've been asking that question. Like, what is real? Am I watching this? Am I hearing this? You know, for instance, I stumbled upon this pretty awesome video I'm going to show you. And I was just like in shock. Go ahead and play that, Aaliyah.
He hugging the berm like he owns it. Sir pounce a lot right on his tail. Long coat streaming. Look at that focus. Here comes Nacho Cat in the red A truck. Bounce a lot getting some air. And Nacho sticking it too. They charge it straight.
Okay, so they're racing cats. Right? Like, amazing. I was like, holy cow, I want to get my cat to do that. You probably hate it. And then I'm like, wait a second. Is this real? You have to ask yourself, is this real? No, it's AI, right? AI can do all kinds of things. It can make all kinds of images and videos, and nobody was racing cats around a dirt bike track. Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know. What's that's the case? But is it right? It's hard. It's like, what is real? What is even real, let alone God's voice? What is real or not? You know, wouldn't you agree with me? We are drowning in information. We're drowning in opinions. We're drowning in agendas. We're drowning in projections. But I think we are starving for truth. We are starving to hear someone and something and a voice beyond us. And I think just as maybe it was back then, you know, it's such a crazy time that we don't know who to trust anymore. You know, so for instance, let me give you a statistic. 83% of statistics are made up. That's a statistic. I made it up. Okay? Right? Like, what is true? Who is saying what? Like, what am I listening to? Who am I listening? Who should I be listening to? It's a time where truth is hard to find. But the thing is, back then, just as it is now, it doesn't mean that they didn't have access to scriptures. It didn't mean that they didn't have access to God's word. I mean, you know, God knows that we have access, right? Like, I could pull out my phone right now and a British person will read you the Bible in the Bible app. You know, just because we have access doesn't mean it has impact. See, in Eli's time, it was a culture where the value of who God was and what he said was negotiable. The word of the Lord was rare because the Lord had become so common and thought to be individualistic, thought to be created in the people's image rather than otherwise, thought to be ambition-oriented, and the word of the Lord was abused. It was confusing because there were so many voices that were speaking different things and then doing their own things. But God is calling. Even though he may seem silent, we have to practice the art of listening. That still small voice, not the loud and proud. And I think that was part of the reason why the word of the Lord was so rare. Because it wasn't shouting. It was rather whispering. And so the story continues here. In verse 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he's the priest, by the way, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So the second piece is how we miss God's call. You know, I love this story. It's so realistic, right? I mean, any parent gets this is like, go back to sleep, right? Stop annoying me here. You know, here we have the old priest, Eli. He's in the line of Moses. And then we have his young assistant, Samuel, who's in the sanctuary of the tabernacle. And this is the place, by the way, where God's presence resides. It's a holy place. It's the place where the ark of God, the ark of the covenant, you could read those stories a little bit back in scripture, that's where that ark of the covenant resides. And there's a lamp that was lit there. It was meant to burn all night long. And that's what we're told and described here. And the doors are closed. And that's when Samuel hears a voice. And you imagine, the only other person on site, on the scene, was the priest Eli. There was like nobody else around. So, and I love what it says about Eli. It says, his eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. He's old at this point, very old. You know, so just a quick question for you. What age do you consider old? Young friends, what do you think? What's old? 60? Okay, we got 60. Okay, sorry guys. Anybody like 40? You're like, it's all downhill from here, right? Okay, we got some people, right? What do we have to look forward to? Anybody like 50? 50? What about like 80? Like old, like 100, that's old, right? That's down there. Okay, yeah, got to cheer that, right? But the thing, and maybe it's just older than you, right? That's usually how we define it. But yet, what I love about this is that there's still time. There's still time to hear from God. No matter what age that you are, there is still time for you. There is still a call for you. And we see that. You know, I mean, even in our lives, maybe some things are out of order in our house, right? Like Eli, he had two corrupt sons that like were totally messed up. Maybe you feel that way, you know? And that's the thing. The first thing that we miss, how we miss God's call, is that often we discount ourselves from hearing. We discount ourselves from hearing God. We say, I'm too old or I'm too young to hear from God. Or I'm too messed up, I've done too many things in my life, or I'm not perfect, or I have problems, or whatever it is. I say I'm too something to hear God's call. We discount ourselves from hearing. But let me say this, that if you're still breathing, there's still time. There's still time. See, Samuel doesn't know the Lord's voice. We're told that. So he gets up, he wakes up Eli, and Eli's like, what? Go back to bed, kid, right? And then again, he goes again, and Eli says, hey, go back to bed. I didn't call you, Samuel. You know, we should pick up the irony of this. They're in the house of the Lord, the place you would expect to encounter God. You know, that's where you go to encounter God, and yet everybody's like, no, I didn't call you. Nobody recognizes God. And I think that's the second thing here. Before we point fingers and said, how crazy is that? Like, wouldn't they expect to hear from God in God's house here? How we miss God's call. We too don't expect God to show up. You ever pray a prayer and it's kind of like a half-hearted prayer? You're like, God, help me with my whatever, whatever. And you're like, you really don't believe it, right? We don't really expect God to show up. Or hey, help, God, help me, help redeem my marriage. Like, my marriage, I don't know. It's probably, maybe it might be like, I don't really expect God to do anything. Or hey, God, I really need a job. I need an opportunity here. And like, I don't really expect God to do anything. Do we really expect God to work, to bring healing, to bring redemption, to open doors, to be at work in our lives, to transform hearts? You ever pray for somebody over the course of years and you're like, I'm going to pray because that's the Christian thing to do, right? Like pray for so-and-so, you know, but do I actually believe that God's at work and that God is actually doing something here? Do I expect him to interact with us personally? See, we're told Samuel is serving the Lord, but he doesn't yet know the Lord's voice. See, Samuel in this story, he hasn't yet met God in a personal way yet. And I think a lot of us can relate, right? You can be going through rituals of religion and not have a relationship with God. You could be attending church daily and doing all your blessings and doing all that thing and not have a legitimate relationship with God. To know him is to hear his voice and to be listening for his voice. And when we know him like that, we can begin to hear things that are hard to hear. You know, you ever read a scripture or hear a sermon or hear a snippet and something like gets you under your skin? Like, pay attention to that, to know his voice. That the things that might be hard to hear, and even so, God is saying them from a spirit of love and grace and purpose. But another way we miss God's call, besides kind of discounting ourselves or not really expecting God to show up, is that for Samuel, it sounded a lot like something he had heard before. God's voice sounded very familiar to the point that Eli dismissed it. You know, Samuel assumed it was Eli. Eli assumed it was, you know, this crazy kid is having a dream or a nightmare. Often God's voice sounds like something we have heard before. But one thing we have to realize, too, is that even this great prophet, Eli, he didn't get it right the first time. Samuel didn't get it right the first time. The confusion that we have often about God's calling, is God calling me or not? Is God opening a door or not? Doesn't mean that you're failing. If we see that here in the scripture, that we very often miss God's call. But then the third thing here is how to hear God's call. How do we hear God's call? So in the story, God's calling. Nobody's hearing yet. So what happens next? Well, I'm glad you asked. So it's 1 Samuel 3, starting in verse 8, says a third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Oh my gosh. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, your Lord, your servant is listening.'" Can we say that together? "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Remember those words, friends, that if you don't know what to pray, just say those words. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then do what? Listen, listen. And so it continues. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. Ooh. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God. He failed to restrain them, and therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." So Samuel is in the house of the Lord. He hears and goes to Eli the third time, and Eli jumps up and says, "That may be God. That may be God." So something connects with Eli at that point. Maybe he remembered the stories of his people, the stories of Moses and Abraham, of God speaking to them. Something clicked in his brain. And I think, friends, sometimes we need to be ready to hear God's voice. You know, maybe you think of your story. Maybe you were in a season or a time when, nope, you were just not ready. Maybe somebody told you about Jesus, invited you to church. You're like, nope, not ready. You have to be ready to be in a place that you are open to hear God's call. Because, friends, the world teaches us that God isn't here, God doesn't care, God isn't a part of this. And it's very easy to interpret everything we see and do through the world. You know, our kids are going to hear the voice of the world. You don't have to teach them that. That's why it's so important for us to be in places where God does speak, to make it a point to do so. To be in places, I mean, whether it's youth group or going to camp or make it a point to be a part of worship or groups, to make it a point to be in places where God speaks, in silent time or devotional time. The times that we are able and we are clear and we are there and fully present to hear God speak, to be ready to hear God speak. And also people. You know, I've been on this thing lately that I think we really need people in our life who are further along in the journey than us. That sometimes, you know, we assume, younger people assume that folks that aren't on social media, have nothing on Instagram, that they have nothing to offer, you know. But I'm really seeing the value in seeing people that, like Eli, may not have the physical vision that they once had, but maybe they don't drive at night because of it, but they can see spiritual things. And for those of us to seek out those people that are mature in faith, to seek out the voices and the people in our lives to help us see when we cannot, to help us hear when we cannot. And that's what we see here, is that Eli, imagine this, Eli's not even a perfect priest, yet God uses him. Imagine that, right? In fact, God was in the process, we're told, of moving him out of the way. And even in that transition, the whole passage is really about transition. Samuel is transitioning, he's growing from a boy to a man. We see Eli, he's transitioning out of priestly leadership. We see that Samuel is stepping into the thing that God created him for, and God does it through Eli's voice. Pay attention to that. You know, whatever God is going to speak, more often than not, it's going to come in the context of relationships. It's going to be spoken by godly people who are in our lives, and that's why it's so important to surround ourselves with the right voices to help us discern that voice from all the other voices that might be in our heads, right? To be in community with others, to have people in our lives that are just that little step further down the road of maturity to help us. And then those of us that might be on that path, that have been studying God's word for years and years, to look around for the opportunities maybe to pour into some others. To say, hey, God, I want to use my wisdom to help build up and to speak into other people's lives. And we see that for Samuel, right? I mean, we see that for Samuel. That's why Samuel was so confused. He heard something. He needed to know where to go. He needed that help to determine what was God's voice and what was another voice. I mean, if you've ever been to therapy, you know this. Common therapy question. Therapists sometimes ask, when you tell them something, he or she would ask, whose voice is that? You ever have that happen? Whose voice is that? Is that your voice? Is that someone else's voice from 30 years ago that's put those words into your head? Or is there a different voice? And we have to do the same thing with God, that idea of discernment. The Hebrew word for discernment, which is used here in how Eli discerned, the Hebrew word is bin. It means he discerned. He separated. Think of bins. Like he separated. He found out what is what. He made a distinction. He had a discernment to know that the Lord was calling this boy. And so he tells Samuel, when it happens again, just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, your servant is listening. See, isn't it interesting? Eli didn't say, go find him. Didn't go find God, right? Like, God's not running around in the tent. He's not hiding behind the flower pot. You have to go seek him out and find him. Eli's like, he's coming back. He comes back. Wait for him. And I think for us to recognize, you know, aren't you glad that God has call waiting? That God calls again and again. If he missed the first time, he's going to call again. Don't worry. It's not like, oh, one and done. That's kind of it. Walk away. Like, no, he's confident. He will call again. Be patient. But this time, listen for him. There's always another chance to listen again. And that's where the secret comes in. The secret to hearing God's voice of God is to do just that, to listen. To listen. It's hard to do. We don't do it well. You know, one of my friends is a real, what we call, over-texter. An over-texter. You know, I can't keep up with him. I love him. And one time he texted me. He said, how come our conversation is all blue? You have an iPhone? When they text you, it's gray. When you text back, it's blue. It's like a series of blue, like over and over and over again. And I'm just like, I'm just listening, right? I'm just listening. But when he said that, I wondered if sometimes my relationship with God is like that. One thing after another. God, do this. Like, God, please help me. You know, just over and over and over again. Just shooting things up to God like a wish list on Amazon, right? I'm just going to make my order here. Too often our relationship with God means that we're just the primary speaker. My agenda. God, do this. What if we went to God and listened first as a recipient to say, God, I'm just going to be present to you right now. Like, hey, I could give you my laundry list. You already know it. And I should speak those things. I should pray to God for that. But what if I took time for God to teach me, to show me, to correct me, to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and then to actually listen. There's a story of Mother Teresa who was in the midst of an interview. And she explained to the person interviewing that an hour of prayer was wasting time with God. That's what she called it. And the reporter asked her, when you pray, I'm confused, what do you say to God? And she said, I don't say anything. I listen. And the reporter shot back, well, what does he say then? She said, he doesn't say anything. He listens. And if you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you. Very interesting, right? Just a posture of being with, of listening. Spiritually, to have spiritual inquiry, spiritual hunger, spiritual interest in the place to listen, to ask, God, what are you saying? And then to take the time to listen, whether it's in silence or to pay attention to what's going on around you, to read the Bible reading that you've been putting off for so long, to say, speak, God, I'm listening, and to wait. And I think that's the key to a fruitful life, a fruitful relationship with God, and even in our church, right? I mean, the activities and the plans and the programs and the classes that we do, you know, to ask God, like, what is, we know what our strategic plan could be, but God, what are you doing? What do you want to do in this people? What do you want to do in New Cumberland? What do you want to do in this region? What do you want to do through us in the world? And then for us to take time to listen. Because what God said to Samuel was very difficult, wasn't it? Sometimes God says things to us that we don't want to hear. And I would say this, one of the earmarks of knowing that you're hearing from God is that sometimes God doesn't say things that you want to hear. If you've never experienced that, then I would hesitate to ask, are you really hearing from God? You know, God wants to confirm and to encourage, but he also wants to shape us from the inside out. And for Samuel, he told Samuel, he said, Samuel, I'm making changes here. I'm transitioning you from being an apprentice to a priest, from a priest to a prophet. And he warned Samuel, he said, but I'm also transitioning Eli and his sons out of the earth so that my purpose can be fulfilled. Samuel, get ready, because I think you're ready. And friends, the result of listening to God's call is exactly that. We step into a new purpose. And so this is the end of our story today. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Samuel was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized and Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So the beginning of chapter 3, the text started with the word of the Lord being rare. But now someone is listening. It's not Eli or his sons, it's Samuel. Samuel, the unlikely one, the little boy that everyone would have discounted, the one that was put at the temple by his mother. He responded to the call. So my question to you today, friends, are you responding? Are you responding to God's call? Have you heard from the Lord maybe in a way? Maybe a way that you've been neglecting or putting aside? Samuel was listening and growing, being faithful. And then he was called to be a prophet, God's mouthpiece. See, God uses Samuel in the pages after to take together this loose confederation of Israelite tribes to lead to this dynasty under David eventually. And then the kingship of Christ would come through that line. He's the one who is in this story because he listened and responded. So friends, the good news is God too has a calling on you. God has called you to a specific purpose. Maybe it's in this season, this place, this chapter. Maybe it's the thing that's right in front of you, the simple, small thing. Don't discount yourself. Listen. Just as Samuel was an unusual person for God to use, who was not of the right lineage at all, God had a call on his life, and so he does for you. It may be hard, it may be difficult, but God is a God of preparation, that he doesn't call the equipped, but rather he equips the called. So are you open to receiving that call? Is there something you've been putting aside or not directing? Are you willing to say yes to God's call today? And so God has a calling for you. Will you take time to listen? And so what I want to do today is just to take time, just a minute here as we prepare for the table. Just if you would just close your eyes. And maybe you've heard something in this message or in this series that God has been calling you. Maybe God's been calling you for a long time. Have you said yes to his general call? Meaning that, like, have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you been just going through motions for a while? Are you trying to figure out what you believe or along the way, but you're at the point now that you know God is calling you, he's been chasing you down, and you're ready to say yes to him? Then I would encourage you in your heart, whether you come to the table today or in the time that we pray, to say yes to God's call, to say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. And I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to say yes to you. Or maybe for you, it's not necessarily that. Maybe you do consider yourself a follower of Jesus, but maybe at this point in your life, there is a specific call for you. Maybe it's a certain action or activity. Maybe it's a way in your workplace or a work that you're called to do. Maybe it's the thing that's going on in your community or in your relationships, a call to embody the love and the grace and the hope and the justice of God. Maybe it's a call to stand with the marginalized, to serve, to use what you have to serve and love others. Maybe it's a call that is radical, to step out of a boat, to follow Jesus into a great unknown. Maybe it's a call to love someone who's unlovable. Maybe it's a call just to pray even right now for someone who is on your heart, maybe someone who has hurt you or neglected you. Maybe it's a call to lift up someone who maybe you haven't even seen in years and to know that following that call is exactly where God leads. So come, Lord Jesus, help us to follow. Help us to hear you. Help us to sense you, Lord. And as we come to the table today, may this table be a place where your voice is confirmed to us, Lord. To hear the words, maybe for the first time and the first time in a long time, you are loved. God loves you. God's grace is enough for you to cover your brokenness, to cover your sins. And he offers you that grace here today to accept it, not to reject it, but to turn to him. Come, Lord Jesus, to this table, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, the silence of our hearts. Speak. Your servants are listening.